At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Simon Marks.
And I am in for Natasha Devon tonight, a one-off Saturday night special with me. It is very good to be with you this evening. Now, if you heard my American Week on Tom's programme yesterday afternoon, you will know that things in the United States are changing at an extraordinary velocity. 1 month into the Trump administration, America is barely recognisable. As the president and Elon Musk, his unelected, entirely unaccountable and de facto prime minister, engage in a wholesale revolution here. State capture of America's government is underway as Mr. Musk boosts his own bottom line by firing the regulators who oversee many of his own businesses. And the president engages of political purges of senior figures who have shown neither loyalty nor fealty to him. Last night, a purge at the Pentagon. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, fired. The head of the Navy, fired. The vice chief of the Air Force, fired, along with three other top officials, all of them targeted because they were considered too woke and had not demonstrated proven support of the president's Make America Great Again agenda. Just to give you a sense of the rhetoric here, take a listen to what Kash Patel had to say yesterday. As of last night, he is the new director of the FBI, a man who has himself drawn up an enemies list of public figures who have failed to show loyalty to Trump. Men and women that he has insisted he will pursue.
Anyone that wishes to do harm to our way of life and our citizens here or abroad will face the full wrath of the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And if you seek to hide in any corner of this country or any corner of this planet, we will put on the world's largest manhunt and we will find you and we will decide your end state, not you.
He now sits in the office where J. Edgar Hoover unleashed a reign of terror for 48 years. Mr. Patel already giving some on his enemies list reason to wonder whether they are safe remaining in the United States. The Trump administration's mass deportations are not proceeding rapidly enough for the president. One official accused of dragging his feet was fired yesterday. The mass firings of civil servants, now considered the enemies of the people by the Trump White House, continues apace. Thousands gone at the Federal Aviation Administration, the National Labor Relations Board, the IRS, America's equivalent of HMRC, and also now at FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw!
The architect of the purges, Elon Musk, prancing around on a stage at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference on Thursday, he was brandishing that chainsaw, boasting of the trauma, misery and economic catastrophe that he has unleashed on hundreds of thousands of civil service families here since the creation of his Department of Government Efficiency, which of course is not really a government department at all. And that is all before we get to Donald Trump's week-long U-turn of American government policy on Ukraine.
Today I heard, we weren't invited. Well, you've been there for 3 years. You should have ended it 3 years. You should have never started it. You could have made a deal.
Trump on Tuesday pulling America's rug out from beneath President Volodymyr Zelensky, claiming Ukraine started the war that obviously Russia started, parroting Vladimir Putin's talking points about Zelensky being a dictator, questioning his legitimacy in power, and insisting that if he wants a seat at any peace talks, then war-torn Ukraine, still coming under Russian bombardment daily, needs to hold an election first.
When they want a seat at the table, you could say the people have to... Wouldn't the people of Ukraine have to say, like, you know, it's been a long time since we've had an election? That's not a Russia thing. That's something coming from me and coming from many other countries also.
Of course, it is not coming from many other countries also. It is only coming from Moscow and now America, ending a 30-year partnership between Washington and Kyiv. All of that coming on the back of Vice President J.D. Vance's excoriation of European leaders at the Munich Security Conference 8 days ago, accusing Europe of backsliding on democracy and free speech. Astonishing that the Vice President himself cannot even publicly say that Joe Biden was legitimately elected in 2020, and that the administration in which he serves now bars the Associated Press from White House events because the news agency won't call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. On Thursday, the Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer will, I think rather gamely, walk into the Oval Office and presumably try to make some headway, any headway, with President Trump. This hour, we're going to talk about what the Prime Minister should say to the American President. It will be the most consequential meeting between any leader in number 10 and a sitting US president since 1945. And the PM and his team need to be ready for more surprises. It's only Saturday. Who knows where things in Washington will lie by the time Thursday dawns? What do you want the Prime Minister to tell Donald Trump? Is there anything that you think he can say to bring America back down to earth? Or should he just now recognize that Washington may no longer be an ally and may soon be, if it's not already, an adversary of the UK and its European allies? You can call me at 0345 6060 973. You can send a WhatsApp message to that number as well. You can text me at 84850. You can ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC, or if you fancy it, find me on Blue Sky and hit me up there. To kick off our conversation this hour, I am delighted to be joined by Sir Kim Darroch, the former UK ambassador to the US during the first Trump administration and also a former UK national security advisor. Lord Darroch, thank you so much for being on the programme this evening. You have advised prime ministers who were about to enter the Oval Office in the past. What would you be telling Sir Keir Starmer to be doing now as he prepares to travel to Washington in completely unprecedented and, frankly, surprise circumstances?
Well, as you just set out, these are extraordinary times. And this is an American president who is completely out of the mold of American presidents of the post-war era, genuinely unilateralist, has no great affection for Europe and no great regard for NATO. So this is a real challenge for the Prime Minister. What I think he needs to do between now and the visit to prepare for it is think carefully about how he's going to handle the meeting with the President, because these opportunities don't come around very often and you need to make the most of it. And this is not a man who conducts these summit meetings, these heads of government meetings, like anyone else that I have seen or experienced, in that he doesn't really stick to an agenda and he darts around all over the place and there are anecdotes and jokes and stuff thrown in. And it's a sort of conversation, not a comparing of positions. So you need to make the most of your time. You need to make sure that you really get your points home. And I think what he needs to do is two things, really. I think he needs to press the president, because Trump himself has not said anything very much on this. What is the shape of the deal that you envisage? How do you see this ceasefire and maybe an eventual peace deal being struck? What's the landscape that you're going to create the deal on? I mean, what concessions? We know you're going to bring lots of pressure on President Zelensky, but what concessions are you going to demand of President Putin so that it's a fair deal? Because we all know, Mr. President, that you want to do a fair deal on this. You want to do a deal that keeps a durable peace, and that needs to be a deal where there are concessions on both sides.
What should the Prime Minister say about what increasingly looks like an American effort at extortion to rob the Ukrainians of their mineral wealth? I mean, the more that one looks into this agreement that American officials thrust in front of Zelensky a few days ago and kind of tried to use strong-arm tactics to get him to sign, the more apparent it is that it is only in the interests of one nation, and that is the American nation.
Yeah, that's a very fair question. And my answer is a bit, I mean, I wish I could say more here. I think with Trump, on the experience of the meetings I've been in with him, you have to really make sure first that you bang home your essential points. And I think those are about the nature of any deal and the importance of Trump using the leverage the West unquestionably has here to get some concessions out of Putin, about leverage like the fact we could double our arms shipments to Ukraine and make life really uncomfortable for the Russian troops on Ukrainian soil, like we still hold $200 billion worth of Russian assets in banks around Europe, like we could increase sanctions. So, yes, I mean, of course, I hate the idea of this pressure on for a deal on Ukrainian assets, on Ukrainian, the rare minerals below Ukrainian soil. And, I mean, Ukraine, as a war-torn country with a huge amount of reconstruction to do, it needs all the resources it can get. And the idea that these can be taken away by one of its supposed allies, I find difficult to swallow. But I wouldn't make that a priority in the conversation, because the most important thing is to try and persuade the president that he has to try and do a fair deal that gets some concessions from Putin. Otherwise, the whole thing will look like a capitulation.
But it sounds as though you are suggesting that the Prime Minister's approach to this should almost be now to think of President Trump and his administration as adversaries rather than allies. I mean, all the talk of the special relationship, that's gone, right?
Well, look, I think we have a different president for the next 4 years. We're on new territory here, and the assumptions that we've become used to in the post-war era don't apply anymore. Quite how far it goes, I mean, we're 30 days in, so let's wait and see. I certainly would present myself, I think Starmer should present himself, as a friend and ally. And I think his point that gets him through the door with added credibility is that he's been the first and actually so far the only European leader, I think, to say that we'd be prepared to offer, you know, ground forces if a deal could be done and it was the right kind of deal. And that makes him the leading European in terms of supporting Trump's efforts. But of course, what counts here is the substance. But in terms of the long term, look, you know, all bets are off in terms of, you know, we're not going to see an America that is a supporter of NATO and a, you know, a supporter of Europe in the way that basically all American presidents, other than Trump, since the Second World War have been. So we have to, by the way, I think as part of trying to get a different mindset out of Trump, we in the UK, but basically all of Europe, need to recognise we need to spend more on defence, because we do. We do in our own national interest, let alone American wishes.
And Kim Darroch, can I ask you finally about something that Anne Applebaum has written overnight in The Atlantic? I'm not sure if you've seen her piece.
But she says the Trump administration. Her piece. Great admirer.
It's a fascinating read. I strongly encourage everyone to read it. She says the Trump administration is now bringing the post-World War II era to an end. No one should be surprised. This was predictable and indeed was predicted. Do you think the events of the last 8 days, and they really are the events of just over a week, have actually been the seismic wake-up call in Europe, and that number 10 and other government leaders recognise that they've basically frittered away the last 4 years when they could have been preparing for this?
Yeah, I think Anne Applebaum is a brilliant analyst, and I think what she says could well be true. I was in the Foreign Office for more than 40 years, and at many times in those 40 years, the wise men of the Foreign Office would say we cannot assume on American support with engagement for and defence of Europe forever. And finally, it seems to be coming around. Now, what we don't know is whether this is a four-year blip or this is a more permanent shape of Europe's of America's policy towards Europe. And not even the brilliant Anne knows that. But it could be. It could be. But you're absolutely right, or she's absolutely right, to say that we had the warning in Trump's first term. And it was always, I think, clear to Trump watchers that he could come back because of his extraordinary grip on a sector of the American population. So certainly we should have been preparing for many years, not just because of that, but because of what Putin is doing and his threat to Europe and his invasion of Ukraine by committing more resources to our own defence.
Astonishing and deeply worrying times. Lord Darroch, I'm enormously grateful to you for joining us this Saturday evening on LBC. That's Kim Darroch, the former UK ambassador to the US during the first Trump administration and also a former UK national security advisor. So now it is over to you. What do you think the Prime Minister should say to Donald Trump on Thursday? Is there any possible way of saving any elements of the so-called special relationship? I suspect we may have finally heard the last of that hackneyed and overused phrase. Can Keir Starmer trust Donald Trump, or does he run the risk of facing the same kind of humiliation that then Prime Minister Theresa May experienced hours after she left her first White House meeting with Donald Trump and discovered that while she was on her way to the airport, he had implemented a Muslim travel ban about which she was given absolutely no notice? Call me now at 0345 600 60973. You can send WhatsApps to those numbers as well. You can text me at 84850 or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. The time is now 20 past 6.
LBC.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.